Why don't we make our confession? Then I'll tell you where we're going today, okay? So if you have your Bible, the words will be on the screen throughout the message, thankfully, for those who set that up. But we have a confession that we make for those of you joining online as well. If you agree with it, we invite you to join us as we make this confession together. Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free, free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert, my heart is open, my spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. You sound great. Would you join me in, I think it's about the ninth book of the Bible, 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And just while you're turning, I'll just remind you that I began a series 2 weeks ago on the life of David, the man most often mentioned in Scripture. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at, because David is called a man after God's own heart. And so last week we, or 2 weeks ago rather, we looked at four characteristics of a heart for God. And then last week we talked about making time for the Lord like David did, and how when we make time to just be with the Lord, three ways we can grow more like him and three ways Jesus is a shepherd to us. But it was David's heart for the Lord that made him a worshiper. Worship is not just something we do. Jesus said the Father is seeking true worshipers, who we are. And so like David, his worship and his heart for the Lord influenced him as a shepherd. We saw that last week. Today as a warrior, and next week, Lord willing, as a king. And then the final week of this month, I hope to share some of his failures, because he had some failures as well, and gain wisdom for how we don't have to repeat those same falls. So today, I'm going to begin reading in verse 2 of 1 Samuel 17, and I'll give you the title of the message as we get into it here. Verse 2 says this, Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up battle array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, or Goliath from Gath. And his height was 6 cubits and a span. For time's sake, he was over 9 feet tall, maybe about 9 feet, 9 inches. The coat of armor he wore weighed 125 pounds. He had a spear that had an iron, the spearhead was made out of iron, that weighed 15 pounds. So pretty intimidating. And so he basically went before the army of Israel and challenged them. And if you drop down to verse 10, we pick it up there, verse 10. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Verse 11, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And this went on for 40 days. Now, David has 7 older brothers. The 3 oldest served in the Israeli army at that time. And so their dad sent David to take him a little gift and a present for their commander, but he wanted to check on his sons and see how they were. So David goes, and when he gets to wherever they're camped and he greets his brothers, guess who steps out and starts taunting again? Goliath. And so David gets to hear it. And now if you drop down to verse 25, 1 Samuel 17, 25, says, so the men of Israel said, telling David, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he's come up to defy Israel. And it shall be, so the king tried to bring a reward to get someone to go face him. He said that whoever would kill him, the king will enrich with great riches. You'll get a lot of money as a reward. Give him his daughter, you get to marry the king's daughter, and your family won't have to pay taxes ever again. How many of you say, let me at him? No. And that may have been along where he was initially. And David said, what? What'll be done for the man who does this? And then they told him, this is what's going to happen. And then verse 26, David, he got all spiritual and said to the men who stood by, that really was his heart. But he said, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And then they told him the same thing. And now his oldest brother heard it in verse 28. Now please watch this exchange. It says, now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence or the wickedness of your heart. You've come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? That's the message I'd like to center in on this morning for the time we have. Is there not a cause? Yes, there is. Is there not a cause? And so, again, looking at the account of David in his battles and the wars that he fought, what can we learn from Scripture in these accounts to help us in our present day battles? Because the Bible is not just some history book. It's for right now. And you see, I believe there are truths that God gave us that can help us in our present day battles. But I always want to come back to this. It's not about David. It's ultimately about how can we, like David, have a heart for the Lord? How can we grow closer to him and grow more like him? That's the ultimate goal, to grow closer to the Lord and to grow more like him. So let me just, I believe there are three truths that I just see here in these verses and this account that I believe we can apply to our lives today. And here's the first one. Fight the right enemy. Fight the right enemy. I won't go back and read it again, but the oldest brother said, why do you even come down here? Go back and take care of your little few sheep. I know how proud and how wicked you are in your heart. And now I don't know this. I'm just thinking there are a couple of thoughts. I wonder why he got so upset. But remember who was anointed by the recognized prophet Samuel in their home? It wasn't the oldest, even though the prophet thought it was going to be. And God said, no, I know he looks like he could fit the bill, but I see people's heart. He's not the one. So I don't know if the oldest felt slighted by the baby, that he was the one anointed or not. Maybe he even felt insulted. I could see that. Here is your little runt brother coming up, and they're all scared to face Goliath, and he's almost saying, what's going to be done for the man? Who does he think he is? And maybe trying to edge them on a little bit. I don't know why, but for whatever reason, when he said, I know you're proud and you've got a wicked heart. Now, wait a minute. What did God say about David's heart? He had a heart for the Lord. So that really wasn't the case. But then if you look at this, it says, I want to read this verse again, verse 29, because in the Hebrew, it would sound actually a little bit more like this. David said, what have I done now? I just asked a question. And is there not a cause is implied, but maybe the way he responded to his oldest brother defused that situation. There's a proverb that says, a harsh word stirs up strife. But that proverb begins by saying a soft answer turns away wrath. That's Proverbs 15:1. So it would have been easy for David, well, let me say it this way. It would have been easy for me to respond in like manner. But then what would have happened is that I would have fought my brother instead of the real enemy, Goliath, or the right enemy. So to fight the right enemy is so important. And so he said, is there not a cause? And as followers of Jesus, I want to read you a verse in the New Testament. If you just stay here in 1 Samuel. It's found in Ephesians 6:12. I want to read it from the International Standard Version. It says this, because as followers of Jesus, the right enemy is never other people. I know they make us mad. We can be upset. We can have contention. I get all of that. But our real enemy, the right enemy, if we're going to fight, if there's a cause, we got to fight the right enemy. And it says this in Ephesians 6:12, our struggle is not against human opponents, but against rulers, authorities, cosmic powers in the darkness around us, talking about spiritual darkness, and evil forces in that heavenly or spiritual realm. See, the right enemy is demon and evil spirits opposing God and his will. That's why it's so important that we know who to, so to first of all, to fight the right enemy. And then second, we're more likely to fight the right enemy if we fight for the right cause. So to fight the right enemy and then to fight for the right cause. Again, I'll just read a few verses here in just a moment in 1 Samuel 17, dropping down to verse 33. Now, David did end up fighting Goliath, but he could have fought for the wrong cause. And I'll show you here, verse 33, 1 Samuel 17, 33. And this is the king. This is what the king said to David when David said, I'll fight him. And he said, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You're a youth. He's a man of war from his youth. So now think about where David's He turns, his brothers say, get back to your little sheep. He turns to the king, and the king tells him, you're not able. He had no human encouragement. But he had a cause, and he recognized the right enemy. So he goes on, let's pick up verse 34. It says, David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or bear took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it. Now, that's one thing to keep them away. A lion or bear that has a lamb in his mouth, yeah, you're gonna have fun trying to get that out. But he said, I chased them, verse 34, and it says, verse 35, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, what was happening? I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine. I'll go into that more next week, Lord willing, about that phrase with the covenant. This Philistine would be like one of them, seeing that he has, and now he's coming to the cause, he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord, would you say the Lord? The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from this Philistine. And he said, the Lord be with you. Let me read two more verses on that one, verse 46 and 47. Verse 46 says, this day, now he's facing Goliath and he's speaking to him. And he says this day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I'm gonna strike you and cut your head off. And this day, I'm going to give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth. Why? That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with human weapons, sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. You see, the right enemy helps us determine the right cause. See, if we fight for a wrong cause, we're gonna fight the wrong enemy. David could have fought to prove himself to his brothers. He could have fought Goliath to prove himself to the king, but he fought for a greater cause, the glory and honor of God. What a great cause. And I'm all for great human causes, but I just believe God's honor and glory and his will are the greatest cause. So David fought for God's reputation. Truth over deception is a great cause. Love over hatred is a great cause. Service over selfishness is a great cause. But the good news of Jesus Christ and how he loved us and came to die on a cross and pay for our sins and conquered death, sin, and Satan is the greatest cause. The gospel. Is there not a cause? So we have to fight the right enemy and then fight with the right motive or the right cause. Fight the right enemy, fight the right cause. And I've thought about this. This really challenged me. When some people, we can go through a hard time in life. And it is a battle in a sense. I understand that. I had to battle my will a little bit yesterday when I pulled up and saw all that trash out there I had to clean up and then get a call last night. But that wasn't necessarily the devil or anything, all right? That was just for whatever reason. But I want to be wise in all my battles, but I really want to be wise in battles I choose. So this week, I'm even examining my heart and saying, what is my motive? And how can I promote God's will and his glory in this? Now, if my heart is right with the Lord and I can somehow promote the truth of God and give him glory, then I say, is there not a cause? Let's avoid unnecessary battles, but let's fight the ones that are necessary, but let's fight the right enemy and fight for the right cause. Is there not a cause? Let me give you this third one now. Because not only do we fight the right enemy, even if we fight for the right cause, we got to have some weapons. So fight with the right weapons. So fight the right enemy, fight for the right cause, and fight with the right weapons. In the New Testament, the Bible says that God has given us a complete set of spiritual armor to stand against the tricks of the devil. It also says he has given us mighty weapons to pull down strongholds, to cast down imaginations and every high thing that it would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Just for the record, let me tell you what happened. Well, I think I'll get to it later. I was going to tell you about David and defeating. Let's just read it. 1 Samuel 17, verse 40. The Bible says this. 1 Samuel 17:40. Then David took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Then the Bible says, verse 41, so the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the men before him bore the shield. Verse 42, and Philistine looked at David, and he disdained him, for he was only a kid, a youth, ruddy and good-looking, probably in his mid-teens. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, I'm going to give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And I love this response. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and spear and a javelin, but I come to you with a mighty weapon. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. And David took one of those stones and put it in that sling and ran toward the giant and swung that thing. And I studied this a little bit. Some people, they can actually, if you get like a little small, smooth stone, maybe size of a tennis ball or something, but maybe a little flatter, some people, like over the length of a football field, can toss that with accuracy. And he slung that thing maybe 150 miles an hour, and God took it like a heat-guided missile, and it sunk into that giant's forehead. And David didn't have a sword, so he went over him, took Goliath's sword, and cut his own head off with his own sword. Cut Goliath's head off with his own sword. Then he took the head back to Jerusalem as a little trophy. Let me give you 3 of our weapons. These aren't all, but let me give you these 3 real quick. Would you say, fight the right enemy? Fight for the right cause. And fight with the right weapons. 2 Samuel chapter 5. I just mentioned them real quick. PST. Prayer, Scripture, and Trust. 2 Samuel chapter 5. And we'll pick up verse 19. The Bible says this, 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 19. Because David is once again, this time, he's facing the Philistine army. And the Bible says that David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?" And the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines in your hand." Verse 20. So David went to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies." That's a breakthrough right there. "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water." Now, he won that battle, and the Lord brought the victory. The Philistines come back. Isn't it amazing? The devil just doesn't give up. If we win, one does he? And he came back, and this time, David could have gone on and fought him again. I know the Lord's going to deliver him, but here's what he did. He prayed, and he sought God's will and direction in that. Now, we have most of God's will revealed to us in Scripture, but then there is a personal application of how do I live that out in my present battle. That's why it's so important. So David prayed again, and the Bible says, the Lord said, "No, don't do it this time. I'm going to give you a different strategy. You come around, and when you hear a sound, it sounds like an army marching through the mulberry trees, then attack. I'm going to give them into your hands once again." So he delivered them, but he followed God's plan. So that's where prayer is so important. Let's seek God, not just get me out of this, but let's seek God's will in prayer in our battles and for the right cause so that we're using the weapons God has given us. Real quick, if you want to write this down, Psalms 18, verses 1 and 3, this is one of the many psalms that David wrote. Psalms 18, verse 1 says this, "I'll love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my..." How did David defeat Goliath? Oh, yeah, rock. That's all right. "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." And then verse 3. Would you read this verse out loud with me? Let's read it together. "I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised." Man, this is so important in battles because I've experienced it and I've seen it in people over the years. Sometimes we can become so devil conscious that we're not God conscious. Sometimes we can be so battle focused that we're not victory focused. And then what happens is we become discouraged, we grow tired, we grow weary and weak because the joy is gone and the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, the battles are tough. Let's be real. How many of us get tired in the battles? Lord, help me. But that's why it can be refreshing. "I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." Praise, as we sang this morning. So my weapons are praise and thanksgiving, worship and praise. Invite God into the battle. David had to show up. He had to get the stone. He had to use the sling. He had to throw it. But he said the battle is the Lord's because he didn't face him in his own strength, and he brought God into the battle and didn't try to do it alone. Man, that's so good. That's a worshiping and praise, bringing God's presence into our battles. There is no match for God. Who can stand before the Lord Almighty? Then a second weapon is Scripture. Prayer, Scripture. Scripture, Ephesians 6:17 says, "Put on the helmet of salvation," take it up, "and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." The sword of the Spirit, that particular word of God does not mean just the inspired writings. It means the inspired writings that's in my heart that I speak in faith out of my mouth. That's the sword of the Spirit. What did Jesus do every time the devil tempted him? "It is written." It is written. He spoke a relevant scripture about that temptation. When he was tempted with food, he didn't quote a scripture on money. So he spoke a relevant scripture, and when Satan got stabbed 3 times with that sword, he got out of there. Jesus is our example. That's the way you fight. So is there not a cause? Let me give you these last scripture and then one in the New Testament. We're done. 1 Chronicles 5:20. Let me just read it to you if you want to write it down for sake of time. 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 20 says this, that the Israelites were helped against the enemy and the Hagrites were delivered into their hand and all who were with them. Would you look at this battle strategy? For they cried out to God in the battle. They just didn't cry in the battle. They cried out to God in the battle. That's the prayer. He heeded their prayer. Why? Because they put their trust in him. You see how important that is? Because if I don't pray, or let me say it this way. If I don't trust God, I'm not going to pray to seek him. If I don't trust him, I'm not going to confess his scripture to use it as a spiritual sword against the enemy. If I don't trust him, then I'm not going to be obedient. Our trust of God is based on his love for us and his unlimited power. He is trustworthy and we can trust him. And so when we're in those battles, it's all right to cry sometime, but don't forget to cry, lift higher. Don't just cry, cry out and cry out to God. But let's trust him because that trust is a weapon we can use just like the people of Israel. We're to learn from them. They cried out to God because they put their trust in him and God delivered them and brought the victory to his people. One scripture in the New Testament and I'm done. I'll close with this. Acts chapter 13. If you want to turn, it's fine. Acts chapter 13. Fight the right enemy. Fight for the right cause. Fight with the right weapons like prayer, scripture, and trust. Acts chapter 13. Verse 36, it says, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep. What does that mean, he fell asleep? He died physically, right? But that's how the New Testament often words it. He died, and it says, he was buried with his fathers, and his body began to decay, saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man, the one who is called the Son of David, Jesus the Messiah, through this man is preached to you for the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone, would you say everyone? Everyone? Everyone who believes is justified from all things. Would you say all things?
All things.
From which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. If we believe the testimony of God's word about our sin, we've all sinned, and that sin separates us from a holy God. It places us under condemnation in a state called spiritual death. But if we believe the word of God that there is a God who loved us so much that he didn't want us to be separated from him forever, and he willingly sent his own sinless son who would suffer and die on a cross to pay for all of our sins, and he, on that third day, rose again from death and conquered death, hell, the grave, Satan. And if we will believe with our heart, not just our mind, but with our heart that Jesus is Lord and call on him to save us, he will save us. He'll forgive every sin. He will justify us. His Holy Spirit will live on the inside of us. We'll live with him forever. And his Spirit will give us grace to face our daily lives and battles with his help. Is there not a cause? I'll close with this. Just a little something interesting I've thought about. I can't prove this, but I wonder if, remember what I said David did with Goliath's skull with his head? After he cut off, he took it where? Took it back to Jerusalem. To Jerusalem, that's right. All right. Years later, there was one called the Son of David who came. And he was crucified in a place called the place of the skull, Golgotha. I wonder if that's a shortened form of Goliath of Gath. And in that place where the skull of Goliath was, the Son of David, on that cross, the place of a skull, raised his holy heel, and on that cross came crashing down, and the first promise and prophecy of Scripture from Genesis 3:15 was fulfilled, he crushed the head of that serpent under his feet. I'm just saying. And the promise to you, church, is that God will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Romans 16:20. Thank you, Jesus. Is there not a cause? Let's fight the right enemy for the right cause with the right weapons. Can we stand together? Yes, Lord. Holy Spirit, we just invite you right now to have your way. Oh, you know we get tired in a battle at times. We're not tired of you, but we get tired of fights. Sometimes we feel like it's so senseless. Help us to be wise. And the battles that are necessary are the ones that we need to stand up for a good cause, like your gospel, your truth, your honor, and glory. Help us to do it by the power of your Spirit and do it the right way. Thank you, Lord. Can we just take a moment right now before we just sing this last chorus? Some of you may be going through a very tough battle right now, and you just want prayer. We just want to stand together. We can help each other in our prayers. Is there anyone here who would just say, Brother Rocky, would you just pray for me? Would you just raise your hand and say, I'm going through a real challenge right now and just a battle. Would you hold them up just a moment? I won't ask you for long, but I just want to see you so I can acknowledge you. Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you all. Thank you so much. You can put your hands down. Let's lift up one another in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Lord, you said you're the glory and the lifter of our head when we get down and discouraged. And Lord, I believe you can renew us when we're battle weary. So Lord, help us. Help us to just come close to you. That's really what it's all about anyway. You're our strength. We just got to get closer to you and stay close to you for grace to help us. So I pray for my brothers and sisters right now. I pray that you would just draw them and let them just, I pray for a fresh revelation of your love for them and your holy grace to just encourage their hearts today. Let them know they're not alone in that battle, and that you're with them and you're for them, and the victory's already been won. We just have to walk it out. You're gonna get the glory in our battles, Lord, because ultimately it's all for you. Help us to avoid unnecessary battles, but help us to stand when it is time to stand and do it by your grace and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.